the Office of Attorney Ethics.
Harold Miller on behalf of Mr. Marcellus.
Good afternoon. Edwin Marcellus responding.
Mr. Moriarty.
Thank you, Mr. Chief Justice.
Good afternoon again, and may it please the court.
Say one more thing before you begin. Mr. Marcellus, because this is a disbarment matter, you'll have the opportunity to address the court after your attorney does, and you're welcome to speak and consult with him before making that decision. You do not have to speak.
Thank you, Judge.
Please.
Thank you, Mr. Chief Justice. Your Honors, this matter comes before the court following the Disciplinary Review Board's unanimous decision, finding that respondent Edwin Marcellus knowingly misappropriated escrow funds in violation of RPC 1.15A and RPC 8.4C. In conjunction with that, they also found that when he held those funds, he did not promptly deliver them to their entitled party, that being South Orange Chiropractic Center, which I will refer to today as South Orange for short. Now, the facts which support that finding, which the OE agrees, and agrees that as a result of that finding, their respondent should be disbarred, relate to Mr. Marcellus's representation of a client by the name of Atlantis Everett. Mr. Marcellus represented Mr. Everett in a collection matter as it relates to funds that were due to South Orange. And those funds were around $11,000. However, the insurance company paid $8,476.36 to pay for that reimbursement. That check somehow found its way to Mr. Marcellus, despite the fact that it was written out to South Orange. Mr. Marcellus took that check and deposited it into his attorney trust account. On the day that he deposited into his attorney trust account, his balance was $2.26. And by Mr. Marcellus's own admittance during the hearing, he understood that all the funds that he was possessing at that time, but for that $2.26, were attributable to South Orange. And that is where we get to the point of where we are here today. After he deposited those funds in March of 2017, a day later, he took out $500. And he took out $500 as a withdrawal. He did not write a check. He has posited or put forth in defense of this matter that he took that $500 and turned it around and made it into a cashier's check. And the purpose of that cashier's check was to pay his client to reimburse him on a garnishment that South Orange had put on his account. Now, the garnishment was $434.10. However, Mr. Marcellus has put forward that $500 was for that purpose. However, the records do not support that. We have no proof in his attorney trust account, in the bank records, or otherwise that $500 was taken out, that a check was purchased for that amount, and that amount was given to Mr. Everett. To the contrary, that money came out. We have proof of that. We see it leave his account, and then it was gone. Now, Mr. Marcellus, through his counsel in January of this year, has put forward in relation to this $579 check, or $7,900 withdrawal, which I'll discuss in a moment, that those funds came out as a trust account, as a cashier's check, and that is how Mr. Marcellus operated his account. And yes, there is proof that he did often buy cashier's check, and he didn't have attorney trust account checks. But we have no proof to support that he did so with this $500 and ultimately the $7,900. In the support of that, his counsel has provided a letter to the court that is unsigned, uncertified, and otherwise unsupported, and it equals out to hearsay. And the OAE opposes the motion that was filed from his counsel to expand the record in that regard. Now, I've digressed slightly, so let me return to the facts of this case. The $500, he said, was for his client. Now, Mr. Marcellus has put that forward and said all throughout the hearing that the $500 was destined for his client. But if we look back to the time of March 2017 and into January of 2018 when they were talking about settlement negotiations, at no time does Mr. Marcellus ever put in any communication to Pearl and Levy, who were the counsel for South Orange, oh, by the way, remember when you told me I could take $500 and give it to my clients? Remember when you signed off on it? Never did that. He only came up with that story or that explanation after the matter had been docketed, after it went through an investigation and proffered that. And at the hearing for the first time, he said, oh, yes, I had a conversation with Christine from Pearl and Ivy. She definitely told me I could do that. But again, if we look back to the contemporaneous documentation and communications for the time when the $500 went out, we have no proof to support that contention. Now, the OAE had to call Christine from Pearl and Levy as a rebuttal witness, because the first time that it was brought up was during the hearing that he's proffering that this is the explanation for what happened to that $500. And when we called Christine to testify, she testified credibly that She had no specific recollection, but she knew that she would never do that because that was outside the purview of her authority. Now, Mr. Marcellus's then counsel had the opportunity to cross-examine her, and he asked her maybe one or two questions, say, do you have any specific recollection? She said, no, I don't. This was sometime prior to that. She said, no, I don't. And he left it at that. And the board found, and the OAE asserts, that she testified credibly that that conversation never occurred. So that's the $500. 5 days after the initial deposit, we have another $7,900, which goes out of Mr. Marcellus's attorney trust account. Again, a withdrawal, not an attorney trust account check, which he again has said is for purposes of purchasing a cashier's check. And Mr. Marcellus says that the purpose of this cashier's check was because he was going to utilize that as settlement for the entire debt to South Orange. But again, we look at the contemporaneous documentation, the communications. At no time in the communications back and forth with South Orange does he ever say, I had the $7,900 cashier's check ready to go for you. I'll send it to you right now. At no time does he say, this is the $7,900 minus the $500 that you agreed I could give to my client to reimburse him for the garnishment. These all come later when there's an grievance filed and he's left to try to explain his actions after the fact. And when we look at that, they are not credible in this otherwise proof of knowing misappropriation of these escrow funds. In that $7,900 check, what we do have is we have a withdrawal slip that said that $4,500 of that was destined for Project M Motors. Now, what did we find out about Project M Motors? Project M Motors was a company which was owned by a friend of Mr. Marcellus's, which was in the business of buying and selling cars, and that was a friend of his at the same time. We also know at that time that there was no other available funds in his attorney trust account but for that $7,900 that he had remaining from the initial $8,400+ that he had deposited on behalf of South Orange. So all that has come to show that there is evidence, clear and convincing evidence, to support that Mr. Marcellus knowingly misappropriated these funds. Mr. Marcellus admitted to misappropriating these funds before the hearing. In his answer, he admitted to it. In the joint stipulation of facts that he signed with his then counsel and submitted to the hearing panel, which became part of this record, he admitted to misappropriating those funds, but said that it was done negligently. Not until we got to the hearing did he start saying, no, no, I always had the funds, I just misplaced them, or had given them to my client. That may have been a logical explanation if it had been brought up in the beginning and had been vetted out. When we look at the consistency of Mr. Marcellus' story, they remain consistently inconsistent. And when we look at this case both literally and figuratively does not add up. Figuratively in his story and literally in the math. If you look at the $7,900 and you look at the $500, it doesn't equal to the $8,400 in change that he was required to hold inviolate. It doesn't equal the $11,000 that was due. If you look to the communications in January of 2018 between Mr. Marcellus and South Orange's attorneys from Pearl and Levy, you see that they are talking about the payment of the entire $8,476. And he says, well, my client wants that $434.10 that was garnished back. They say, no way. Does at that time, does he bring up, by the way, you guys, not less than a year ago, agreed that it was okay for me to take $500 out of my attorney trust account and give it to my client. Again, none of this adds up to support the credibility of his story. And with that, the OAC submits that the record clearly and convincingly supports. I was found by the unanimous decision of the Disciplinary Review Board that Mr. Marcellus did knowingly misappropriate escrow funds. And as the cases stand for that Holland Donner and its progeny, the outcome is disbarment. And if the court has any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Thank you, Mr. Thank Moriarty. You. Mr. Miller.
Thank you, Your Honor. Edwin Marcellus did not misappropriate client funds to his own use, and there was no clear and convincing evidence that he did so. Although there is no question that the entrusted funds did not remain intact, the issue is, did Edward Marcellus knowingly misappropriate these funds for his own use? Retired Judge Fullerlove, the standing master, at page 9, line 12 of his report, concluded that Edwin Marcellus did not seek personal gain. That's what distinguishes this case from the Wilson line of cases. Although Mr. Marcellus was admitted as an attorney in 2013, it was not until 2017 that he actively practiced as an attorney. And within that first year, the events which are the subject of this ethics complaint occurred. It was his first year of practice. He had no senior attorney who supervised or whose services he sought. The record is clear that he really had no understanding of what he had to do as an attorney with reference to his trust accounts. It's not in dispute that the rule relating to trust accounts was not followed, and he did not use checks. He used cashier checks. That's what he testified in the proceedings. We've made a motion which the court has not ruled on to enlarge the record to include the letter from the bank. But it must not be lost sight of that the burden is on the presenter or attorney ethics. In this case, Mr. Marcellus testified that he had a cashier's check in the amount of $7,900 made payable to Pearl and Levy, and he lost it. There's no evidence that that check was ever negotiated. And the burden is on the Office of Attorney Ethics to prove it was misappropriated.
How do you account for the withdrawal slip to Project M Motors?
Just a mistake. I have no other thing other than the fact that he testified that it's not his handwriting and he did not write that. It's our position that there was only one cashier's check in the amount of $7,900, and there was no payment to the Motors. That's his testimony. And
that $4,500 is still in the account?
No.
Where'd it go?
That $4,500 never was there. It's that $7,900 cashier's check that's lost.
So the money, may I? $7,900 was withdrawn from the account for the purchase of a cashier's check.
Yes.
That check has never been found?
That check was never negotiated, correct. It was lost.
So that money stays in the trust account?
No. No, because once you issue the cashier's check, it's gone.
Forget what I just asked.
And so I think why I'm confused is, where does the withdrawal slip come in? Does that $4,500 withdrawal slip that named Project M Motors, that was done in conjunction with the $7,900 withdrawal? And
yes.
No
yes.
Explanation for why there was a withdrawal slip for $4,500 that corresponded with the $7,900 withdrawal for the cashier's check.
Testimony was that Mr. Marcellus did not write that. It's not his handwriting.
It's just because it wasn't the ether. Just a withdrawal slip was just created.
That someone at the bank had put that on it. It wasn't Mr. Marcellus.
Is there anyone in Mr. Marcellus's office that might have written it?
No.
So it's
Mr. Marcellus was there by himself. No one else wrote it, and Mr. Marcellus says he didn't write it.
And are you telling us that the cashier's check cannot be stopped after the fact if it's lost?
I'm telling you that it wasn't stopped, it was lost, and never negotiated.
Can't use a stop payment on a cashier's check?
I would think that the bank could. It wasn't done here.
So that money is still just out there somewhere? $7,900?
Yes.
Did the $4,500 ever end up with Project M Motors?
No.
Why wouldn't anybody have made an effort to retrieve the $7,900 since 2017?
I can't answer that. I wasn't counsel then, but I would say that the burden is on the Office of Attorney Ethics show what happened to that, since they must prove by clear and convincing evidence that the money was misappropriated. That the payment to the client of $500 is not a misappropriation in the sense of Wilson, because it wasn't going to Mr. Marcellus's own use. The $7,900 lost check is not misappropriation because, again, it didn't go to Mr. Marcellus.
So you're saying that if someone withdraws client funds from a trust account and then uses them to pay a debt to another client or uses them for the benefit of another client that the lawyer owes money for one reason or another, that's not a Wilson violation?
Oh, no, I'm not saying that at all. If the attorney owes money to that client and he uses it, that would be a Wilson violation. But if he mistakenly gives the money to the client, thinking that the client is entitled to it, then that's not a Wilson.
It belongs to client A. The money belongs to client
A. Yes.
The lawyer takes it out and gives it to client B for whatever reason.
Yes.
That's not a Wilson violation.
No. It, to be a Wilson violation, there must be a misappropriation for the attorney's own use.
And giving money to one's other client doesn't become a Wilson violation?
Correct.
If that's not... spend it on himself?
Yes.
South Orange is not your client's client, correct?
Correct. His client was
the adversary. Adversary.
Yeah. South Orange was owed money in connection with a claim of some kind.
Yes.
Has anybody ever told you why or whether the bank was contacted regarding the $7,900? Because presumably, if that was never negotiated, there's $7,900 still in the bank somewhere that could have been verified.
It's clearly not in the client's account, because once he gets the cashier's check...
Understood. It was never negotiated, never paid, never nothing, as far as we know. Has anybody ever asked the bank whether they have an accounting for that? Did they declare it a loss? They've written it off the books. Is it still on the books? Has anybody ever talked to the bank about it?
The only thing that I know is that letter that I asked the court to consider in enlarging the record, where the bank said it wasn't negotiated.
Is there a record that the cashier's check was issued? Not negotiated, I understand.
No, I understand. I don't want to mislead.
No record at the bank that the cashier's check was issued?
The letter, I'm reading from the letter from the bank. A research inquiry was requested for a cashier's check issued on March 13th, 2017, payable to Pearl and Levy. Records cannot be located as the cashier's check was not negotiated.
So is the bank simply saying the request we got was for an accounting of a check issued on that date? Is that all they're saying? Are they confirming they ever issued a check in that amount?
Again, it's a short letter, and I don't. It's there's some ambiguity in it.
Checked into that at all?
No, the check is just the letter just came, and that's what we have. But again, if it didn't occur, the burden is on the Office of Attorney Ethics to show by clear and convincing evidence.
How is the OAE going to show, if there is no record of this cashier's check ever having been issued, what does the OAE have to do beyond what it's done already to prove that there is a Wilson violation?
Well, I think the bank is saying that a cashier's check was issued on March 13th, payable to Pearl and Levy. Records cannot be located as the cashier's check was not negotiated. They're not saying that the check was not issued. They're saying that there was a cashier's check that was not negotiated.
You, I think you said about 2 minutes ago you thought it was ambiguous.
I did.
Now you're
saying that's what it says. That's what it says. And I think that's an interpretation of it.
So nobody's ever called this bank and said, "What is there any record of a cashier's check for that amount being issued during this time frame?"
I can say I did not. I was not counsel down below. I just came in here.
Nothing in your file that indicates has anybody ever contacted the bank to get clarification as to whether or not this really happened?
Not that I have any personal knowledge of.
Can you tell us what's in the record about what your client represents happened with the $7,900?
He said a cashier's check was issued to Pearl and Levy, and he lost it.
So he was holding on to $7,900?
Cashier's check.
Before we even get to the cashier's check, the trust account has $7,900 in it.
Yes.
That belongs to a client. Orange Chiropractic Center.
Yes.
That money is still owed.
Not now. It's been paid. They've been paid.
Thank you. The $7,900 leaves the account. How is it restored, if ever?
Mr. Marcellus restores it on his own money. He puts his own money in to remedy the situation, and then they get paid. So they are whole. Now, that doesn't say that it wouldn't be a remedy if there were a misappropriation. I don't mean to say that, but I do show that it was remedied. And the fact that he remedied it does not indicate that he misappropriated it earlier or that he knew it was taken improperly, but he did remedy it.
Can you tell us what the bank statement says for the period of time when that $7,900 cashier's check was reportedly taken out? Is there a debit for that amount?
Yes.
That is never credited back in connection with the cashier's check?
No, it's taken out. Never credited back, but they're made whole by additional funds that Mr. Marcellus puts into his account.
So we touched on this before, and I just want to ask, why someone who has lost a $7,900 check is ponying up that money with their own funds instead of going to the bank and saying, "This was never negotiated, reverse the charges on my account"? Can you explain that to us?
I can give one possible explanation, and that is that Mr. Marcellus is terribly unsophisticated in the way he ran his office and his business. So when he's then confronted with the fact that it's short, he then puts his own money in it to remedy it so that no one is harmed. But it's clear from the way he ran his whole operation of his office that he lacks any sophistication, any knowledge of trust account and business. I mean, that's clear. But that's not indicating that he stole someone else's money or he misappropriated it.
And the money is paid back in May of 2018? Or thereabouts?
Yes. And I do say that the essence of misappropriation under Wilson is using another's funds for the lawyer's own use. And I think that's indicated in Perez and all the cases cited by the DRB, whether it's Fleischer, Skevin, Pomerantz, Anderson, or even Hollander, are instances where attorneys have used another's funds to pay their own expenses or for their own need. That was not done in this case.
Anything else you'd like to add?
No, unless you have some other questions you'd like to ask me.
Thank you, Mr. Miller. Mr. Macellus, would you like to consult with your attorney? Would you like to address the court? Again, you need not. It's entirely up to you.
I'll consult with my attorney.
Go ahead.
Thank you.
You might want to step back from the mic a little bit.
After consulting with him, Mr. Macellus has nothing further to add to the arguments that I've made.
I just have, if you come to the center, I just have one additional question. For you, Mr. Miller.
Yes.
Do we know from the record when it was discovered that this check, cashier's check, had not been negotiated?
I don't know if I have an answer. If I could just, maybe Mr. Macellus could answer that.
Sure.
I think April of 2018, but I'm not certain of that.
Thank you.
Your Honor.
Mr. Moriarty, can you clear up some matters? Come right to the center, please. With respect to the...
I normally don't like to have to come back up, but there was something I wanted to address. But if Your Honor has any question, I'd be happy to answer that first.
Can you help us at all with respect to the $7,900 check? What proofs there are that it was issued? Whether there was some other transaction other than a cashier's check, what do the bank records, to the extent we have them, reflect other than a debit of $7,900?
Thank you, Your Honor, and that's exactly what I wanted to address. What Mr. Macellus is attempting to do in this case is attempt to prove something that we know not to exist. He's attempting to prove a negative. He's saying that I took this $7,900 out. We have unequivocal proof from his attorney trust account that $7,900 was withdrawn by him on that day. We have zero proof, other than what Mr. Macellus has said, that a cashier's check was purchased. Now, the bank has said the only way we can prove that it's purchased is if it's negotiated. However, we have no other proof that this $7,900 check was purchased. And as your honors have asked here today and followed up on that, we look at the contemporaneous communications between Mr. Macellus and between Pearl and Levy in this matter. Not once is that check brought up. At some point, it was realized that this matter was not going to settle. We do not see that $7,900 get placed back into his attorney trust account to hold for purposes of settlement. And that's at least in January of 2018, where Pearl and Levy unequivocally say, we want every last cent of that. We're not agreeing to any matter of this. And also, Mr. Macellus' client, Mr. Everett, says, I'm not settling for anything unless I get my $434.10. Again, we don't see at any time him attempt to track down that check. The OAH attempted to find any proof we could find that check ever existed. We couldn't find it. We asked for Mr. Macellus's. I'm sorry, Justice Patterson or Justice Sullivan, you both look like you had questions at the same time.
Justice, go first. He's senior in age.
That's something that you can say.
Excuse me? You're saying you reached out to the bank and they have no record... they would not have any record of a cashier's check being issued?
Not for that amount on that day of $7,900.
Okay. There must be some record of accounting for a $7,900 debit.
And
is that record?
We have found nothing from the bank to support anything other than $7,900 of cash being withdrawn from his attorney trust account that he later said was for purposes of purchasing a cashier's check. But we don't have any proof that cashier's check was purchased.
So the bank records show, just to be clear, the bank records do show that $7,900 was withdrawn. It's just that there's no record because someone could withdraw $7,900 in one transaction and then go buy a cashier's check somewhere else. or whatever, but as far as his bank records show, that bank, his bank records show for his attorney trust account that $7,900 was taken out on that day.
Right. So say any one of us goes to the bank, we take out $500 in cash and we're going to use it for whatever reason. And we later, essentially what happened, then, you know, somebody says, what happened to the $500? Oh, I bought a cashier's check. We'll prove it. We don't have that proof. And that's, I don't want it to get lost in the court. Sorry, Justice Patterson.
Two questions. One, did he indicate that, the respondent indicate that he went to the same bank where he had the account from which he withdrew the money to get the cashier's check?
Yes. He did all of his banking at the same branch, same location. It was all done there.
There's no other bank involved.
As far as we know, and he's never proffered that. So it's not like it happened, as Justice Pierre-Louis was proffering, that maybe it happened at another bank. We can't just look at all the banks. We looked at what we had,
there was no indication it was somewhere else. Secondly, did you find out generally, do banks issue cashier's checks and simply... that's the end of it. They have no record that they issued a particular cashier's check on a particular number.
Most of the time, we don't. I can't say in my personal experience.
No, I understand.
I can't say in my personal experience. Every time that a cashier's check has been taken out, we have a trail to follow, and it's never been an issue. And this matter is the first time it's come forward where someone has proffered that a cashier's check has been purchased and then lost, and we've been able to find no proof of that. But even that apart, I still think the contemporaneous contemporaneous documentation doesn't support what Mr. Macellus is saying.
I understand, but it just seems peculiar to me because the bank issues the cashier's check in the name of the bank, with a check number on it, generally. And there would generally be a record of that, one would expect.
Yes, and we expected that. We tried to find it. If we would have found that, we would have had an explanation, and we would have been maybe at a different position.
You say we being the Office of Attorney Ethics?
Yes,
this letter from Chase dated January 4 is not addressed to your office. It's addressed to the respondent. So what documents do we have here that substantiate what you told us, that the Office of Attorney Ethics in their investigation made inquiry to the bank about those very documents that one would think have to exist if they issued a check?
Right. I mean, it's, again, proving a negative. How do we show that we didn't find anything?
No, how do we know that you're not you personally, but that, the investigators asked?
Because it was part of our investigation in this matter. It was part of the evidence that was produced at the, you know, we subpoenaed the records. We looked to the bank. We asked for the documentation. The documentation that we got back from them was the withdrawal of $7,900 of cash.
Substantiated in a hearing transcript? Where is that effort?
Through the bank records that were presented as part of the hearing. So again, Judge Sabatino, we have a situation where perhaps I'm better to answer this. Do I have something that specifically says we went to the bank and asked that specific question? I do not have that in the record. But what I do have is the bank records, which show the $7,900 out, our efforts to look at Mr. Macellus's file, and the contemporaneous communications, which do not support his position that a $7,900 cashier's check existed.
And is it the OAE's position that the bank, in this most recent document where the bank said issued on, that's not confirmation that there was such a cashier's check issued on that date?
Right. That's a very specific question asked by either Mr. Miller or Mr. Macellus, where they said, do you have proof that this check was ever negotiated that was issued on this day? And came back and said no, because it was never negotiated back. But again, my position of the Office of Attorney Ethics is that's attempting to prove a negative. And on top of that, it's also hearsay that should not be admissible at this late hour.
If you go to Chase tomorrow and you have an account with $8,000 in it, and ask to purchase a cashier's check with funds from that account, do you know what the bank statement looks like referencing that debit of $7,900?
I don't know, because I've not done that. I've not had a case, but I do know in this case that it wasn't done in that. It was done in a matter that we know that the bank records support that it was a $7,900 cash withdrawal. And what happens with that cash withdrawal, we can't say with any level of certainty. Mr. Macellus says he purchases a cashier's check that he ultimately loses.
So his account of this is not that he said to the bank, take $7,500 out of my account and issue a cashier's check in that amount in one transaction, but that he took cash out, and from there on in, there's no record of anything happening.
Right, and then we have this $4,500 notation for Project M Motors on the same day.
But the bank records don't show anything with regard to $4,500 being withdrawn.
Right.
So when you subpoenaed the bank records, the withdrawal slip that you received shows that on the same day that the $7,900 was withdrawn, there was a withdrawal slip for $4,500 indicating that the money was going to this motors company, but the records of debits and transactions don't show anything with regard to $4,500.
Yeah, there was only the 79. It was more than $700. Forgive me for not getting it down to the cents, but yes, there was no other additional funds. Mr. Marcellus had other business interests. He may have had other accounts. This was his only attorney trust account, and he's never provided anything one way that we can't just go on a fishing expedition. We have to be able to identify an account. There was no other accounts that we identified.
Well, the wording of the bank's letter is very unclear. The first sentence, this letter serves to verify that the account under the title, Mr. Marcellus, et cetera, ending in a certain number, here's the phrasing, withdraws, so the letter's serving to verify that the account under his name withdraws, present tense, funds from the account in the manner of cashier's checks. What do you understand that to be, in the manner of cashier's checks?
I guess it would be habit evidence. It would be, you know, his usual practice to do that to show. From what I interpret from what Mr. Miller provided to me, again, this was provided to me the same way it was provided to the court, was that this was in an attempt to show that this is how he did his banking. I don't think we ever disputed that he sometimes took out cashier checks. It was the matter of this specific cashier check. There was no proof to support that it was taken out.
So here's what would be helpful to have a better understanding of the first sentence that troubles me as well. When an account holder at Chase withdraws funds in the manner of cashier's checks, what does the bank statement show? Does it show a cash withdrawal, or does it reflect more specifically money was transferred for the purpose of purchasing a cashier's check? We don't have the answer to that.
It was my understanding, but I can provide further verification for the court following today, that it was the $7,900 cash withdrawals. But again, I will get a better answer for your honor for that one.
Okay. Other questions, anyone?
And just one final point. I think it's well known to the court, but there is the case of In re Noonan, which stands for the proposition of taking funds, knowing that they are not your funds, and using them for a purpose that is not the intended purpose. And although Wilson started in 1979 with the progeny that we followed and which has been reiterated in the most recent Wade decision, there does not need to be shown that these funds were utilized for the attorney's purposes, for purposes of knowing misappropriation that would warrant anything less than disbarment. Thank you, Your Honors, if there's no further questions.
How much time would you need to provide the document you just referenced?
Well, it's not up to me. It's up to the what the bank can provide to us. I will prioritize it. I'll work with my investigator to get that information. If you could give me, I think 2 weeks would be reasonable. We have a good relationship with the banks. Hopefully they'd be able to get us that information.
Do you have the bank statement for that month?
Of course we do, yes.
And that shows a cash withdrawal. I thought you were going to confirm that.
I'm relatively confident, but I can also confirm that as well.
Thank you. Court's in recess.